Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're meeting with Jim Rudolph, Chairman of the Board and CEO for Rita's Water and Ice. And today, Rita's is the nation's largest Italian ice chain with more than 400 stores and an aggressive growth plan of 1,500 stores by the year 2010. Rita's features the best ices, cones, shakes, and other cool stuff. Rita's Italian ices are made fresh daily and available in more than 30 different flavors. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend? I know it's been a busy week for you.
Yeah. It's been a good week.
Birthday week.
Yeah, my twins turning four yesterday, so it's like a whole week affair. They celebrate it in a little nursery school. We had family over yesterday, and then we have a little party for them this weekend at a place. So
it's not like when we were kids, right, where you just had like a little birthday cake and your friends come over, and now it's like all week, birthday weekends or birthday weeks, it's just
I hope this is what they don't expect multiple times, that they're singing happy birthday to them, a lot of gifts coming from
days.
I got to tone that down.
Yeah, wait till they're like 9 years old and 10 years old. It's just it's got to be something. But
it's a lot of fun. Some planning involved, and this weekend they start their little t-ball class. They have. I'm looking forward to that. I grew up playing a lot of baseball, and so far they both seem to like it. I have them out in the yard, with the wiffle ball and bat and so forth. So
it's stuff
that you'll be doing in a couple of years.
There you go. Because it's funny. I was saying to Connie, this morning, I said, it seems like your kids were just born, the other day. And here they are, 4 years old now. It seems like yesterday.
Yeah, they're little people now. It's doing a lot more stuff on their own. They don't want you to helping them, which is good.
Absolutely. Fun stuff. But our last show, Don, we met with John Cipolla of the Franchise Opportunity Verlo Mattress Factory Stores. And Verlo has locations throughout the nation and is continually growing. And, again, they are expanding throughout the country. As a franchisor, Verlo Mattress Factory continually adds value to their franchisees' investment by providing Verlo-specific services and products that are above the industry standard in quality and priced with the bottom line of the franchisee in mind. Thought it was a very interesting show. What were your thoughts on the last show?
Yeah, I like John. I've gotten to know him the last couple of years, seeing him at some franchise shows. He's just another franchise pro. He was at Big O Tires, I think, for a number of years.
He was chairman of the board as well, just like Jim, So it's I didn't realize he had that background.
And obviously we've learned that a mattress is not just a mattress. It's really such an important purchase.
Right, absolutely.
Just not for comfort, for health and so forth. As you get older, your back, for example, might not be working
absolutely.
When you were younger. Yeah.
There's so many benefits to sleep, Don, and I mentioned to you, I was in that industry, and the problem that I had was, the beds that we sold were typically the same as everybody else, and at Verlo, they actually customize these mattresses, and you can actually watch it being made, after you purchase it. So that's pretty interesting. That's definitely something different. I like his story. If you remember, he spoke about the franchisee of the year. It was Adele Salome. And,
right.
He came to the United States when he was 16 years old. I think it was like $20 in his pocket. And 25 years later, he owned three Verlo stores, And it just goes to show you the power of franchising, Don. How we mentioned that, franchising doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you have a high school degree or an MBA.
Right.
Just follow the system, you can be successful.
Right, young or old, it doesn't matter what nationality. Yeah, we love those success stories. That's part of why we have the show. It's great to.
Those are great. I'd love to have him on the show eventually, get him, because he was Franchisee of the Year. I know that John actually nominated him.
Right.
I guess it was to the IFA. And very strong industry. I think it's John mentioned it was a $7.7 billion industry.
Right.
And, just very unique product, So,
yeah, I think Verlo's doing a good job of separating themselves from the competition, because anything you know, any business has competition, especially that industry. And yeah, I think they're doing some good things, and I think they're going to be able to, you know, double their, you know, number of stores.
Yeah, I think we're
going to
see big things from them. You know, it is. It's a very interesting franchise, and you know, the leadership is just is so important. You know, and
right.
So I feel very comfortable, you know, with him, you know, steering the ship at Burlow. So that's
pretty interesting seeing your own mattress being built. Because I mean, I know for years, friends, you know, people will drive miles at night just to sleep in their own bed. It's just the way it is.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is. It's so true. But I know we got an interesting show today, Don, and I think we got a busy month ahead of us, don't we?
Definitely. We got some nice stuff lined up. Today we're meeting with Jim Rudolph, the chairman of the board, CEO of Rita's Water Ice, the very popular Rita's Italian Ice. So
big fan. I was just there last night, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a very popular product and franchise. So
absolutely.
In May of 2005, Rita's was purchased by Pittsburgh-based McKnight Capital Partners under the direction of Jim Rudolph. So I'm sure he'll give us the whole history, tell us all about that. On May 22nd, next week, we're meeting with our friend and franchise expert, Joel Labava.
Wow.
We had him on before. Good guy. He's been involved in franchising over 15 years.
Very knowledgeable, yeah. And Joe he just wrote an e-book, didn't he?
Right. The bottom line is he's a franchise expert, franchise consultant, and a franchise industry blogger. He'll talk to us about the ebook. Just a, you know, very good show. Of course, very valuable information.
Right, right. And he's doing a lot of things with vets too, as well, Don. I think we've mentioned on the last show, and I guess we'll talk to Joel about that again. You know, so.
Right.
Good.
May 29th, Marty, we're meeting with Edible Arrangements.
Wow.
Concept first launched in East Haven, Connecticut in 99. They have over 800 locations. I'm very familiar with this company through my company, of course, Diamond Financial Services. Has been working with them and financing a lot of their franchisees over the years, so we're excited about that.
That's great.
On June 5th, we're meeting with Chris Cheek from the Brugger's Franchise Opportunity, and they're known, Marty, for authentic boiled and baked bagels. Brugger's bakers lend their expertise to crafting a variety of other stone hearth baked breads. So, I've never been to it, but I know that they're pretty well-known, Brugger's. And,
sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great, yeah. So we got a lot ahead, you know, over the next month. Pretty busy schedule, you know, but some great shows ahead of us. So that's fantastic. Here's a couple PR announcements, Don. I guess I'll start with a big one. Our friend Michael Gerber is actually going to be in New York next Tuesday. And he's going to be at St. Bart's on 50th and Park Avenue. It's a free event. It's from 7 to 7:30. And, you know, Michael's going to mingle briefly. I suspect he's going to be signing copies of his new book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, which is an incredible book. We had Michael on our show, what was it, 3 months
just
ago?
Just a couple months ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. But just an incredible book. I think this is really Michael's best work, you know. It's so excited about that. So if you want to meet Michael in person, you know, go to New York next week.
Yeah, we should find out how the book's doing. It's just a matter of time before it is up there on top. But we should.
Yeah, I suspect that this one is going to be, I hate to say, just as big as the E-Myth. I mean, the E-Myth was several million copies, and it's in like 16 different languages, you know. And, I mean, that book was written, it was like a quarter of a century ago, you know, and it just continues to keep selling, you know. So I think it will take a while to hit that point. But, you know, I mean, after reading, you know, Awakening the Entrepreneur, then I really enjoyed it. It precedes the E-Myth. So if you read the E-Myth, you have to read this book first, actually, you know.
Right.
So pretty
still
interesting.
Changing people's lives. It's just incredible.
Absolutely. It was a very motivational book. I really enjoyed it. So, again, go meet Michael in person. He's a fantastic guy. Here's something
where's that
else,
again, Marty? Where is it again? It's St. Bart's?
It's on St. Bart's. It's on, you know, it's unfamiliar with the, let's see here, St. Bart's, 50th and Park Avenue, and it's a free event.
Okay.
So,
good.
And if you want more information, you can actually have a website here. You can go to the Coach Shop, shoppe.com. All right?
Okay, good.
And here's another one, Don. You might find this one interesting. It's a company that you're familiar with, and I think you work with as well. Boardwalk Fresh Burgers and Fries announces national franchising opportunities. Fast casual chain teams up with franchise veteran FranSmart.
Right.
Alexandria, Virginia, May 1st. Boardwalk Fresh Burgers and Fries recently announced a partnership with Alexandria, Virginia-based franchise developers FranSmart and began ramping up a national franchise expansion plan. FranSmart, the company that helped launch the ultra-successful Five Guys Burgers and Fries, that was a great story, with the help Boardwalk reached its lofty goal of having 1,000 stores in development nationwide by 2013. You know, FranSmart is, I mean, they're fantastic at their jobs, aren't they, Don? You know, I mean, they're really
right.
Full service package. They're not franchise brokers. Boardwalk already well on its way to reaching that number, recently sealed a master franchise deal in the state of Georgia. It's a whole press release. If you want more information, you can contact Katie Majors, phone number 214-520-7152. For more information.
Yeah, FranSmart's interesting. All their concepts are in the food category. They have some solid concepts, and they
really
have big plans with all of them. Yeah, it's a
great company.
Right. Our friends Marty at Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo, we always like to report on upcoming shows
right.
around the country. This weekend in Dallas, Fort Worth, May 17th and 18th, they're having a show there. And then end of the month in Jacksonville, Florida, May 31st and June 1st, a franchise show down there. And people want information on the shows, times and everything, go to usfranchiseexpos.com. Get information on those shows. And
I agree.
I saw something here, Marty, the Wall Street Journal on franchising by Richard Gibson. Interesting article through the franchisor's perspective a little bit.
Right.
It says, more than 200 new franchising opportunities were introduced in the U.S. last year, underscoring the industry's enormous popularity. But which ones will be around 10 years from now and which are simply somebody's make-a-quick-buck scheme? Anyone considering starting a franchise needs to determine whether it is a legitimate concept, has legs, and is appropriately priced so as not to create a backlash among franchisees who feel misled on their investment. Experts who help would-be franchisers get started warn that many rush to the market. A lot come to franchising prematurely, says Mark Siebert, president of iFranchise Group, a Homewood, Illinois consulting firm that advises potential franchisers on how to turn their ideas into real businesses. They may have been operating a popular barbecue restaurant in their hometown, for example, but that doesn't guarantee that they could dot the country with that.
Right, right.
So this is looking from the other side, of course. We're so used to looking from the franchisee's perspective.
Exactly.
And it, of course, coincides with the franchisee who has to do their due diligence.
Right, absolutely.
It says here, next part of it, to win all the thousands of inquiries it gets each year, Mr. Siebert's company asks potential entrepreneurs a series of questions. Among them, do you really have something that will sell? How credible is your business model? Can it easily replicated but hard to copy? Are multiple units already successfully operating in a variety of venues? How seasoned is your management team? Is it adequate to support your franchise if it takes off? And how much money can a typical franchisee expect to make? So it's nice this company really just doesn't, you know, take any company and look to franchise it. They really have to feel it's going to be, you know, very
right.
successful.
Absolutely.
From the franchisee side of things also.
Right.
An adequate return on a franchisee's investment is vital. Without it, you might be able to sell the first 10 franchises, but you will have a real hard time selling number of 11 because by then the concept's worth will be widely known, Mr. Siebert
right.
says. He looks at least a 15% return on a franchisee's investment after subtracting what that person would pay someone to manage the business.
Right, I see.
Yeah, which is good to see, yeah. A franchise should have a distinguishing attribute. Newcomers often seek to compete in segments that already are heavily franchised, in effect stacking the odds against themselves. And it says here, Marty, for example, no fewer than 48 franchisers, many probably hoping to become the next Curves, began marketing fitness center concepts in the past 5 years. So that's pretty incredible. 48 franchises in that industry started, and there's another 39 sought to sell coffee and tea, while 34 others got into submarine sandwiches, according to Arlington-based Fran Data, which tracks franchising.
That's
a franchisor also must be well capitalized.
Right.
You can have the best concept in the world, but if you don't have enough capital, it's one of the quickest ways to become a casualty in the industry, says Adam Siegelheim, an attorney with Stark & Stark, a Lawrenceville, New Jersey law firm that assists new franchisers. The number of locations already operating is important. The more outlets there are, the more likely a franchise's business model will be bug-free. Some franchise brokers consider a concept still unproven. If only a handful of sites exist, it won't agree to help promote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, looking ahead, attitude and commitment are also indicators of a franchise's long-term success. If a person wants to franchise because he doesn't want to work anymore, but just go to the mailbox and collect royalty checks, that's not going to work, Mr. Siegelheim says. Mm-hmm. Franchising is harder than running your own business because you have to watch over franchisees who have no experience, he adds. It's like a parent taking in more teenagers.
That's a good analogy, isn't it?
Which is a good point.
And I have to remember that one.
So on the franchisor side, you know, companies right. helping a business model to franchise, just have to be careful. Obviously, it's going to work or it's going to be a lot of lost investment. And then the franchisee doing the due diligence, you know, this is all the stuff you're looking into. How many units they have, how new are they, you know, what's their leadership, how's the training, all the stuff we always talk about on our shows.
Right, going back to the, you know, common theme, it's a marriage. You know, you really have to make sure it's a match as well, you know.
Right.
A franchise that would be good for you, Don, may not be necessarily good for me, you know, so.
Absolutely. Right. Here's something also pretty interesting from the San Diego Business Journal by Liz Weiderman, just from May 5th. A period of economic uncertainty is not the time to sink one's life savings into a restaurant or shop, but it may be the perfect time to consider owning a service franchise, according to local franchise consultant Sherry Carroll. One factor in franchise choices is home equity. How many new franchisees financed their business in the past, she said. Since equity loans aren't as available or as generous as they once were, service businesses with their much lower entry cost offer a path that many are taking to beat the economic blues, says Carroll. An 11-year volunteer with the San Diego chapter of SCORE, a nonprofit organization providing free consulting and inexpensive workshops for small businesses and new startups, Carroll was recruited by SCORE to provide franchise expertise. While a franchise sandwich shop might cost $120,000 or more for the build-out and equipment or $300,000 for a retail shop, a service business can cost as little as $20,000 to get started with almost no overhead, she says. Some growing service businesses among San Diegans are Illinois-based Brightstar Healthcare and Sandy, Utah-based Spectrum Home Services, which offer non-medical services to seniors, such as running errands and yard cleaning. So this is a pretty interesting article because during these times, you know, people. You know, I can see people investing in smaller investment size franchises.
Right.
But it all kind of comes down to what's someone's, you know, how much do they have to invest and what's
mm-hmm.
their reserve money. So.
Absolutely. It's interesting. It's a good article.
Yeah, consulting businesses such as the Carlstadt-based expense reduction analyst, along with executive training services such as the La Jolla-based Renaissance Executive Forums, also offer popular franchising opportunities. Says Blair Nickel, president of the Louisville, Kentucky-based franchise network group, San Diego and Orange County Operators. With a countrywide unemployment rate of about 5% in the first 2 months of 2008, and that's up from about 4% in early 2007, according to the Employment Development Department of California, franchising is bigger than ever in San Diego, says Nickel. Yeah, I'll be in San Diego next year. One of the big franchise shows is going to be there.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
Franchise businesses now make up $1 trillion in U.S. direct economic output, according to an International Franchise Association report sponsored by the U.S. Small Business Administration. More than 3,000 companies are franchising nationally, and franchise businesses account for more than 50% of total retail revenue, according to the report, which was released this past March.
Wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think last information you gave, Don, I think it was on last show, I think we're approaching like a million units or a million franchisees.
Right.
The
yeah, you know, the numbers keep going up.
They just keep going
up. It's pretty interesting.
So, absolutely, yeah.
High-level executives, Marty, are saying they don't want to go through layoffs again, so ready to leave the corporate world, they're using severance packages to start a business. He says that former business executives are ideal candidates for franchising because they can apply their existing skill sets in a white-collar environment while investing between 80 to 100 in office-based types of franchises such as executive coaching, financial consulting, and information technology businesses, as opposed to a storefront business that costs a minimum of twice the money. It's interesting. It's like when we talked about the early part of the show, really just anybody can get into franchising.
Right, absolutely. However, you have to follow the system, you know. But, I mean, I think the theme of, you know, those articles that you're talking about, too, Don, is that, you know, there is just this tremendous growth in franchising. You know, it just seems to keep getting bigger. You know?
Right.
So it's fantastic. Yeah. That's good. Well, as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with the nation's largest Italian ice chain, Rita's, with more than 400 stores and an aggressive growth plan of 1,500 stores by 2010. And again, we're meeting with Jim Rudolph today. And Rita's, for those unfamiliar with Rita's, features some of the best ices, cones, shakes, and other cool stuff. Rita's Italian ices are made fresh daily and available in more than 30 different flavors. Rita's old-fashioned frozen custard, which is my personal favorite, comes in chocolate and vanilla. Hey, Jim, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Boy, after that introduction, I'm not sure what else I need to say.
Exactly.
Well, wow.
You're talking to two big fans, Jim. I was actually I was telling Don earlier in the show, I was just there last night at Rita's, you know. My wife is a very big fan, you know, so you're talking to some loyal customers as well. So.
Yeah, and the same with my mother, Jim. I until recently lived in Neptune. I was right around the corner from your Neptune location on Route 35. My mom would always stop before she comes by and visits us. And when I told her that we're having you and your company on the show, she wanted to make sure that I mentioned that she's a big fan, so.
Well, I have to, if I can say two things, it's, maybe it pertains to the show, but two comments. Somebody, I'm not sure if it was Don or Marty, mentioned the custard. I just want to update you on something that we currently have in over about 70% of our stores, we call them CMT machines, two custard machines. And what that's been able to do is a couple things. First, we introduced a new product this year called Slenderita. It's a no-fat custard, vanilla. It is absolutely out of this world.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And, but in addition to that, we also have the opportunity to have, with the second machine, coffee custard, which is also out of this world. So we've really expanded the custard. Okay. So it's been terrific. The other thing I have to say is that I guess I'm one of you because I have to give you this quick, brief history, not necessarily history, but just 30 seconds about myself.
Sure.
When I'm obviously in Philadelphia, Trevo's. I do not live here. I commute each week from Pittsburgh.
Oh wow!
And I actually forgot to tell this to people for a period of time.
Yeah.
Let me give you a quick background. Just you know, from May of 2005, we bought this business. I always say we in everything that I say. It's always we. But nevertheless, my brother and I bought this business, and we brought some friends in as investors. Because we bought this business for a private equity investment. And from that standpoint, it was strictly that we're going to buy the business, we got these investors, well, I will personally oversee the business with a president here. So the plan was pretty simple. I'm going to come over here for 3 to 6 months. This is back in May of 2005. I have three VPs, and I'm going to promote one of them to president, and then periodically I'll come over every month or 6 weeks, whatever the business demands,
right,
and oversee it. I wasn't involved. I was not looking for a job. I wasn't looking for something on the day-to-day. The farthest thing from my mind, my experience in the past has been that, and I did it, and I've been there, and I didn't want to do it again. Well, when I got engaged in this business, I realized two things. I really did not do a very good job on due diligence, and number two, I couldn't believe this concept, which is really what you guys are saying,
right,
the cult following and the fans and the people, how they talk about it. So fast forward. We're up now. We just celebrated our third anniversary, and I haven't left. I'm here every single week.
That's fantastic.
For
just
3 years.
Loving it, Jim. It sounds like
loving
you're
it.
Loving the job. Yeah.
It's not. It's beyond love. It's a passion. It's absolutely a passion. But anyway, I had to tell you that. I guess I'm one of you now. I absolutely. I never did I ever expect to be able to enjoy this as much as I am. Never. I mean, I loved what I've done in the past and the different experiences and the different people and so on and so forth. I never, ever expected that I would enjoy something as much as I enjoy this. So.
Great. Yeah, and you're no stranger to franchising either. You know, I mean,
no.
I've done some background research on you, Jim, you know, and I've seen that, you know, you've been with, what was it, Baskin-Robbins, was it Chuck E. Cheese, or Wendy's was the big one, wasn't it?
Right. We had 47 restaurants.
Wow.
In, with Wendy's.
Incredible.
We bought Wendy's, and we went to Wendy's in Columbus in 1974. They had about 23 or 24 restaurants.
Wow.
So we obviously were there on the ground floor, and we bought the franchise agreement for the greater Pittsburgh, six counties area in Pittsburgh, and we opened the first one June 2nd, 1976. And we built it up to 47. But in addition to those three or four, we also did Church's Fried Chicken.
Right.
But I think the best, I mean, all those were terrific experiences. But the other part that, you know, and I didn't mean to do this. I really, that wasn't our intent. But over the years, I bet you, I think I've counted six or eight franchisors in person that I went to, we went to their markets, went to their companies, but in addition, looked at a number in addition to that. So I guess without really intentionally doing it, I've become a student of franchising.
I'd say an expert, there's no doubt. And you know, I guess you have a pretty interesting story or experience with Dave Thomas, who and I are like to really quote at times. He's just a big-time person in franchising, obviously.
Don, you know, I'm not sure I'm an expert. I don't think anybody can be an expert in anything, so I'm not sure I ever call myself an expert.
Yeah.
In reference to Dave, I mean this so sincerely. I don't know or believe that I would be here today if it wasn't for Dave. Because I guess here's something personally about me. I used to be embarrassed to say this. I'm not that old, but I used to be embarrassed. I never went to college, and I had trouble getting through high school. So I always questioned, you know, what I was capable of doing and so on and so forth. And if you know about Dave, Dave did not also graduate high school.
Right.
But what I learned from Dave very, very early on, and you have to go back to 1976 and 77, 78. Dave used to say to us, you're not in the hamburger business, you're in the people business.
Mm-hmm.
And when you engage in this concept of Wendy's and you're buying it for the hamburgers and the products and, you know, the taste of the food, and then Dave says, we're not in the hamburger business, wow. I mean, you talk about a major change in the road.
Right.
And there's lots of things that I remember about Dave, but that was one I'll never, ever forget, that we are in the people business. And that's really, and I just spoke, and I do it every week, we have what we call Cool University.
Yes.
That's our training facility, and that's a whole other question subject, because everything we do is based around Cool. So we call it Cool University. We have our partners coming through for 5 days for training, and I go every week to speak to them. And I say to them, you're not in the treat business. I hate to disappoint you. You're really in the people business. So I learned that from Dave. And the other comment I remember so well is going to a funeral in Columbus, and the place is packed, and myself included, all these grown men crying for Dave. I mean, he was just an absolute phenomenal, special individual that left a mark on so, so many of us that it's irreplaceable. He just absolutely priceless, Dave, just absolutely priceless.
And he obviously had that, you know, the passion, Jim, he had for Wendy's. And, you know, obviously it's rubbed off on so many other people, including yourself now with Rita's, I guess. That's what you have to, and you know, to be successful, obviously.
Well, I think there's really three things that I talk about. And one is what you just said, having the passion and the commitment. But the headlines that I say are three things. You got to love what you do. And with that love comes a passion and a commitment every day. And,
right.
You know, I mean this very sincerely. There's very few days that I don't feel like getting out of bed and coming to what we call our Cool Support Center. Very few days. I mean, I love this. I absolutely love this. So that's number one. Number two, and I guess I've done this all my life, and I don't know of any other way. You got to work hard. I don't care whatever you do. You got to work hard. And number three, you got to learn every day. And I have a philosophy that I have two ears and one mouth, and I try and listen twice as much as I talk. So I got to learn every day, because I'm that's why I'm not saying or ever say I'm an expert. I can learn every day.
Right,
so
right.
It's about loving what you do, working hard, and learning.
That's fantastic.
And that's great advice, obviously. And that's something Marty and I, in a couple of years of doing the show, we talk about a lot, right, Marty, being that there's no shortcuts in franchising. You have to work
absolutely.
Hard.
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing we learned, you know, even from the show we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, just all the work you put into it. In the beginning, you know, is very difficult, you know, but it's a commitment.
And the people, the new franchisees coming into the system, if they have that attitude, they'll probably be very successful.
It's really the expectation. It's what we're looking for. We're looking for people with that type of attitude, with that type of personality, with that type of ambition of wanting to be successful. That's a major part. But let me give you the other part, being a franchisee.
Yeah.
And this is so very, very important. And this is really for all your listeners because, you know, I had some good news and bad news when we bought this company. I had a meeting within 24 hours with the Rita's Franchise Advisory Council, and you guys know what that is, right?
Right.
And so for the listeners, the Franchise Advisory Council are individuals representing the franchisees. So I said to the sellers prior to the closing, I wanted to have this meeting. Oh, you don't need to do that, and it's not important, and so on and so forth. I said, thank you very much, but it's important to me. Because as a franchisee, I put myself in their position. I want to know who this new guy is. I want to know what he's going to do. I want to know what he looks like. I want to know what he says. So I had this meeting with them from the beginning, and within 24 hours of buying the business, and I said to them my initial words, I think, I said, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is I've only been a franchisee like you. The bad news is I've never been a franchisor. But what is very serious to me is that I really believe being a franchisee longer than any of you have been and more concepts than any of you have been, what I bring to this organization, I believe then and today, is that I really understand what you think, what you want, what you expect. So I really know more about the franchisee than I do about the franchisor. That's my asset. That's my attribute. The other comment that I've learned, because I did it, we always did it over the years with those different concepts we were involved with, and I really didn't think about it till I got into this position to try and articulate to our partners what is it that we're looking for. So separate from the commitment and the passion and the integrity and wanting to work hard, you need to do something else for that franchisor. And so whether it's Rita's or it's, you know, I heard you talk about the other concepts that you have coming on, you need to do three things with that franchisor, because a franchisor does it with you. It's about trusting that franchisor, respecting the franchisor, and believing in the franchisor. Trust, respect, and believe. Because if you're going to become a franchisee, as my father used to say, you know, we paid this fee and we pay a royalty of every dollar. It's our responsibility to be able to believe in these guys and respect them and trust them. And it's difficult over the years, 20 years with Wendy's, 19 years. I'll be very honest. There was many ups and there were many downs. But there was never a point that we never believed in the concept and we didn't respect the guys. That was very important. So what I try and express and preach to our partners, because we do it internally, and I want them to feel the same, is to trust us, believe in us, and respect us. And if you do that, then we're going to be successful together. Because if you go back to the beginning, it's why you bought the concept. And not everybody should be a franchisee. But if you take that route and you make the commitment of a franchisee, then do as the company suggests and recommends. Because go back to why you made the decision to become a franchisee. And the headlines, to trust them, respect them, and believe in them, because they do with you.
And I think you're not going to have a problem getting that with future franchisees and, of course, your stores now, because of your so many years as being a franchisee, you're thinking just like them. You know what they want and think and everything. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I wish it was that simple. It isn't. Can I mention something else that I've really been working on, talking about, articulating a lot? And we branded it the 5 C's, which I think is important, not that I think, I believe is important for this concept to be successful and to have many, many more years. We're celebrating, which is pretty historical, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary next year, which is, I remember I was with Wendy's when they did their 25th. It's a big deal. There's very few that celebrate 25 years. But anyway, we branded it at the 5 C's, and I won't go through them, but I'll just quickly give you the words. The first one is a commitment to the Rita system, and they're all self-explanatory, but that's number one.
Right.
Number two is the consistency, and I really drive that from the consistency from the store operations first, but then everything that we do as a franchisor and a franchisee, we need to be consistent because we all of us, everybody wants to do the right thing, and we all want to be good, and if we have this concept of being consistent and doing it every day, we got a better chance. The third is communication, and to me, we never get, as I say, I'm not an expert, we are constantly thinking about how to improve the communication. It is our lifeblood, it's our conduit, this is a partnership, and communication is the key to any relationship, husband and wife, siblings, whatever, it's communication. Four is the R&D, research and development. I can go through the products that we introduced this year. We introduced one last year, and we're going to introduce more next year, is because we as customers, guests, want to have more of a variety of products. And then the last one, and probably the most important, and this is a major one, and I call it embracing change. Because the world is changing quick, but it's more than change. We need, as individuals, to embrace it. We need to embrace it and be a part of it and be in support of it, because change is difficult. I guess I've gone through it. I have many experiences of being difficult with change. I'm at the opposite extreme. I look for change. I want change. I promote change, because if we're not changing, then we're going to be left behind. This world, the business world, the franchise world, the guests are changing so fast, we need to be changing with them. And it's so difficult to be embracing it. So,
I think that's, I mean, great points, Jim. The change is part of life, and, you know, even some of your, you know, most well-known concepts, you know, the McDonald's and so forth, always have to be going through changes and adapting and so forth. So that's a good point to have that attitude. I mean, you're like the professor, Jim. I'm here, you know, writing frantically, taking notes.
So am I.
You're doing a great job here.
Thank you. I, that's not my intent, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Talk a little about, Jim, you know, just about the history of Rita's. I mean, you know, people love, you know, the company and the product
sure.
so much, but talk a little bit about the past a little bit more, please.
I'll say to you, we had a big article in the paper when we bought it, so I'll lead with this. I said this internally the day before, and I really meant it. It came from my heart. I said, you know, it's an honor to be able to buy this business. It's an honor to buy this business. And I spoke from my heart, and I said that to the newspaper, and I meant it because of the strong history that this concept has. So with that, it comes back to me to say this is a phenomenal country that we have. It's absolutely amazing. We are so fortunate to be born in this country and to be a part of what we're, the opportunity and the potential we have. With that said, this concept started in May of 1984. I mean, this is like hard to believe, and I've been there umpteen times, so I know it's actually true.
Right.
But this concept started in 1984 in Woodhaven, which is outside of northeast Philadelphia, on a woman's porch. On a woman's porch. She lived in a house, and this is her porch on the back side of the house. And she actually, obviously, had a door from her house to the porch. So she came into the store all the time. But they started on the porch with about four flavors in 84. And the way they came to the name, well, it was Bob Tumalo, and he needed money, so he went to his mother, Betty. So the two of them opened this water ice, as we call it in Philadelphia, store, and they started to expand it over the years. They had four flavors. They started to expand the menu from different flavors. And then in 89, he started the franchise. And Bob's background, very interesting, not a college graduate. He was a fireman. He was a fireman in the Philadelphia Fire Department. And Bob used to work from 1984 to 89. He worked 7 days a week. He either went to the firehouse or he went to Rita's. He had his brother come in about, I think, 84, end of 84. And then in 89, unfortunately, not disabled, thank God, but he was disabled from a bad back. And he had to leave the fire department, and then he stayed with Rita's full-time, and they started to franchise. So over those years, that's what occurred, and then we bought it, fast forward. We bought it in May of 05. They had about 310 stores at the time. We had about 32, 33 people at what we called the office at that time. We've since changed the name, as I mentioned earlier, to the Cool Support Center. Today we have 95 employees at the Cool Support Center here as well as remote. And today we have about 516 stores. So we've opened a tremendous amount of stores since 05. We operate in 17 states. We have awarded franchise agreements in 17 states, operating 14 states. And this year, we're going to open 121 stores.
Some nice growth, and I'm sure, you know, continued success. You know, as you were buying the business, you know, I just had a quick question about the seasonality aspect of the business. Is that something that, you know, you thought about at all?
I hate to expand on that question. People in Philadelphia don't know what we've done. And when I say about embracing change, part of embracing change is we've really, and I mean this very sincerely, and on one hand, I'm sorry, but on the other hand, it was the right thing to do, which is that what I just said is something that's very, very important to me, about the right thing to do, which I learned from Dave. I have a philosophy of saying, when I put my head on the pillow every night, I feel good because I did the right thing. And we go to great lengths to make sure we do the right thing. But anyway, we've 100% changed everything in this organization except the way we make ice. And one of the changes we made is that the people in Philadelphia know of Rita's as a walk-up store that is open 7 months. Well, as a franchisee, the first question that was asked to me of the Franchise Advisory Council was, are we going to change the seasonality of the business? And I said then, and I say today, no, and probably never. I don't say never too often, but I could almost say never, because the one thing I do not want to do is make it mandatory to be open year-round. Mm-hmm. I, as a franchise partner, would not want that to be told to me, and I'm certainly not going to tell them. So we sort of have a mixed system, but let me try and expand, because there's lots of pieces to this. So as the people in Philadelphia know, it's a walk-up, open 7 months. What we're really doing today and have been for the last 18 months is opening stores that what we call our walk-in, which means you don't walk up to the window, but you actually walk in. And what the example, the prototype is like the Cold Stone or the Baskin Robbins or the Maggie Moose. Right. You walk into the store. That's part one. We've totally changed the model. The second piece is that the stores that we're opening here as well. In fact, as I said, I was at Cool University. We're opening a store in Pennington, New Jersey next week. It's what we call a walk-in service store because we're not going to build any more walk-up. We have a couple more in the pipeline, but we're really getting out of it, and that's a whole other story. But anyway, so we're doing walk-in. This individual in Pennington will only be open 7 months. That's their decision, as I said. But when we're opening in the Carolinas and in Georgia and in Florida and in Tennessee, most likely those stores will be open 12 months. So the seasonality has changed 180 degrees.
Wow, it's big news. That's, big.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to, again, and this isn't intentional, but it's survival. It's about embracing change.
Right.
And the reason, and let me expand on that for two reasons. Number one, I do not think, well, first of all, you need to be able to expand the brand to do more business. It's just the reality of business. Number two, we could not expand it by only opening 7 months. And three, if we need to expand the menu, one of the things that we work on is cakes and pies. Because when you look at all the competition, and this is no secret, when you look at all the treat concepts that are our competitors, they all carry cakes and pies. We need to do that. We need to have additional products than we have today. And if you're going to have additional products, you need to have the additional space. In order to have in addition to the additional space, you need to be able to market it properly. So when you walk up to the Rita's, and I'm not sure what stores you went to, whether they had the second machine, you didn't even know. And the problem is that we're so limited in what I call the real estate in the front, in the, you know, at the window, and a walk-up, you can't see what the new products are. So for that reason, if we have a walk-in service store, now you have more opportunity to promote your products, which drives the guests to come more frequently.
Right. Yeah, well, that was obviously a very good question I asked, because that's a lot.
Yeah, it was. You didn't expect to get that answer.
How big is the industry, Jim? Do you have any numbers on that?
That's a very good question, and I unfortunately, I do not. I am a very optimistic person, and to me, it's a very big industry.
Right.
Baskin Robbins just announced the other day they're going into the soft serve business. It's big. This thing is huge. But I have to be honest with you. You know who our biggest competitor is? The supermarket.
Oh, really?
Well, think about it. And when we were with Wendy's, a friend of ours owns a big supermarket chain in Pittsburgh. We used to tease each other because he saw us as a competitor as we saw him as a competitor. Well, unfortunately, they're still a competitor. Because if you're not going to come to Rita's, you have a choice. Forget the other competition. But you have a choice of just going to your freezer to take the treat out of your freezer. So where'd you get the treat? At the supermarket.
Right.
If they didn't sell us, oh, boy, I would be one happy camper.
There you go.
Well, and you go into the supermarket today, oh, boy, you talk about products, frozen treat products. Wow. So there's our biggest competitor. So the industry, huge, billions. Billions. We're only doing a little bit over 100 million. We got lots of opportunity.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I like the niche that you're in. It's such a
Right.
Strong product. You know, people are going to go the extra mile to get, you know, Aretas.
I want to talk about that for 30 seconds. I think, there's a number of reasons why I'm here. First and foremost, about the people. We've created a terrific, outstanding management team, 95 employees here at the Cool Support Center and remote. They're the best. I'm telling you, I'm in love with these people. It's why I come back every day. It's what I enjoy. They make my life very, very enjoyable. I'm a very lucky person to have an experience like this after what I've gone through with other concepts. So it's about our people. The second one is what you guys were talking about before. It's an amazing cult following to this concept. Amazing. And the third, most importantly, which I didn't mention before, we are it is what it is. I didn't mean to. It was. We bought. But and it's really secondary. We are the largest Italian ice concept in the country. But it's even more special than that. There's nobody that has what we do. Nobody. We make this product fresh every single day in our stores, and we discard it after 36 hours.
Wow.
36 hours. The product is totally unique. Nobody has a product like ours. Somebody was telling me, a friend, that there's some place in South Florida that had 40 different flavors of water-based ice, similar to what we're making. He said it was okay. But the point was, when you have 40, it's not fresh. And I, as a consumer, as you and many of your viewers, listeners, they want, personally, a fresh product. And that's what we're trying to express to and market to our guests. It's made fresh every day with fresh fruit. This is a very unique product. That's what I think was the major attributes of Wendy's. It was fresh meat.
Right.
It was hot off the grill. We have fresh product. When you go into a competitor, one of these other treat shops, that ice cream has been there who knows how long. Is it a difference between when it comes out of the machine till a week later? I don't know. I really don't know ice cream that well. But I can tell you, I'd rather have something fresh versus something that's 2 weeks old. And that's one of our major attributes. So it's a very unique niche that nobody else has.
I think that's the big sell right there. People know coming up, it's made fresh. It's, you know, they never have to think twice about that. They're getting a good product. They're willing to pay a little more. Not that you're expensive, but they're willing to pay something for something that's fresh and, of course, delicious.
Can I say something from a franchising standpoint that I've learned?
Sure.
And I guess it's about me, but before it's about me, it's what I've learned as a prospective franchisee. Again, in being involved with a number of franchises and then looking at a number, I come down, and I've said this often, whatever concept you buy today, whether it's a food or it's laundry or it's landscaping or dry cleaning, whatever you buy, I can guarantee you one thing. I can't guarantee you too many things, but I can guarantee you this. Positively, I will guarantee you, it's going to change. Whatever you buy, that concept's going to change, whether it's next year or 3 years or 5 years. Agree?
Yes.
Yes.
What will not change is the people you're buying it from. I am who I am. So-and-so, who he is, who he is. We as people, we don't change. We are who we are. And that's really what I've learned over the years in buying and looking at different franchises. It's about the people. It's all about the people. And we've walked away from a number of franchises because we looked at a bunch, right? And every time that we walked away, I always came back and said it was about the people. We didn't like the people. We loved the concept. Great product. Has a great opportunity to make money. But, you know, we didn't like the people.
Now,
and I'm not saying... go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, you mentioned when you were first looking at Rita's, you wish you had done a little more due diligence. But is that what sold you on buying the company, was the people?
No, what sold us in buying the company, yes. And to the first part, yes, absolutely, 100%. We thought that we were buying good management, and unfortunately, the three people that were here are no longer here. But first and foremost is, from a private equity investment, we were buying the people because we thought the people could manage and take the business to the next level. Unfortunately, that didn't play out, and I had to make changes with all three. But
it sounded like what happened was the flip side. You didn't realize what such a solid product and
that absolutely no idea. And where I live in Pittsburgh, there's a store, you know, a 10-minute walk that I go to often, and I like the product. But I did not realize the cult following and the inner workings of arenas and how people feel about this. I had no idea. No idea. I mean, I was a customer. I went up to the store and they were busy, but I really didn't think about it. But I do remember going to it when they opened. Ah, this is pretty neat. Wow. But I didn't think of any further after that.
Interesting. You know, talk a little bit, Jim, about Cool University and what goes on with training.
Well, Cool University, I have to give you the history. I always like to give the history so you understand where we came from. When we bought the business, the owners, the sellers of Rita's had a building, we call it a warehouse, that they used to do distribution on a limited basis, and we had offices built inside the warehouse. Okay, and it was okay. And as I say to people internally, we could have stayed there for another 10 years, added more offices, we could have made it work. And in addition to that, we also had what we called Rita's Ice University. And that was a mock store, a typical store that was in the offices. So we used to bring people into there for partners to train them about making ice and really serving up ice custard and happiness.
Right.
When I made a decision that this is not what I want for our organization, because I go back, one of the things I had to do first was change the culture of the organization, of the people, because they were in another mindset and doing something differently than where I wanted to take them. And I thought part of the culture was we have to have the right place to work. It starts with that. You know, the better you take care of the place where you work, the better your people will feel about coming to work. So what we did in a year ago, 14 months, we moved from that location about 2 miles away. We're in an office building now, very nice, attractive windows. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful office. When we also did that, we needed a place for Rita's University. So we took a location on nearby. Again, we had to keep it close because we're over there all the time doing research and development, and our partners are coming in for training, and we want to be close. As I went over there this morning to speak.
Right.
We leased a storeroom of 5,000 square feet, and we call that Cool University. So we have an operating store in the front, about 1,500 square feet, to open 12 months a year, walk-up windows, and inside seating, which is what our prototype is. And then in the back, we have a full, what we call Cool University, with a training staff of 5 people and a big classroom and the audio-visual equipment and all the things needed to be able to teach ice custard and happiness. So we put our partners through. We're actually making a change. It's a 5-day program, and then here at Cool University, and then for 40 hours they'll go work at a satellite campus store of Rita's of Cool University. So
because it's a big upgrade, yeah.
Oh, it's not a big upgrade. It's a 180 degree change.
Right.
And as I say, you know, the reason why we did it, simply said, it was the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. If we're going to grow this concept and we're committed to growing it, it's about doing the right thing. You know, in reference to the people, there was 32 or 33 people here when we bought the business of May of 05. Today, as I said, we have 95 people. Now, our stores did not increase from 300 to 900. We're not there yet. So we have enough. We have development agreements in place to take us to 1,000. But I don't. You know, I don't talk about development agreements. What I talk about only is the stores open. That's the key. It's about same store sales. That's all I talk about. So it's about we need to do the right thing. So we made the commitment on a people standpoint. We made the commitment on an office standpoint. We make a lot of – we have a – if I could sidebar for a moment. We have a couple company store locations. But obviously, the majority, 99%, are our partner stores. So we made a commitment a year and a half ago. Actually, 2 years ago, I told the real estate department, because of the number of leases we're signing on an annual basis, and they're 10 years, and they're, you know, X amount of dollars, we really need to invest in technology. Well, he came back and said, I don't want to mention these numbers, but he came back and said, well, this is going to cost 6 figures. I said, let me make sure you understand. I really don't care. Whatever we need to do it right, to get better information, to have better technology, to do better site selection and better site approval, that's what I want to do. We're spending many, many times more than that initial 6 figures to make sure that we're, number one, headlines, we want to do it right. And so number two, we have the information to try and make the best decisions possible with the technology that we're paying for to help us make the decisions. I have a very simple philosophy every single day. What's the right thing to do? That's really what I live by. And I say this to our partners. At any time, you can call me. On my card, somebody actually internally said this to me. I didn't realize it. I did it automatically. My cell phone is on my business card. I'm available 24/7. At any time, you can always ask me, talk to me, tell me what your thoughts are. I'm your partner. That's what I'm here for. I mean, I love this business. I love making you successful, because if you're successful, I'm going to be successful. I mean, it's that simple. That's the way it's going to work.
And your partners or franchisees are making a – I mean, the bottom line is they're making a big investment in Rita's money and time, you know, tenure agreement. So, you know, you want to make them feel as comfortable and give them that confidence that they're going to be very successful. And, you know, you've done a great job in creating that family atmosphere. And it seems like, you know, there's no shortcuts here. It seems like you're making the investment in the people and your partners, and that's just that you know, that all spells obviously a successful franchise.
I appreciate that. I have to tell you a story, a quick one. As I said, I went over to Cool U this morning, and I spoke to the new partners. One of them happened to be one of our employees going to be in Florida as what we call a franchise service manager. He just started Monday, so he's going through Cool University first. This was unsolicited. He makes a comment in front of the other 15 people, 12 people. He said, you know, I have to share something with you. You know, I just started in this company, but I sent out an email was sent out to the day before we open the store, the FSN sends out an email. If you happen to be in the area, stop by to, you know, come and visit our new store opening the next day. So this franchise service manager sent this out. I think it's opening in Virginia. And this person, this new employee who was there today, emails them and says, congratulations or something. Well, at 10:30 last night, that FSN calls this new employee. He doesn't know him. He calls him just to introduce himself. They talk for a half hour. And what made me feel so good is that this existing employee told the new employee, he says, you know, I've been in many businesses, many companies. I've never seen a family value and a family feeling as much as this organization does on a day-to-day. I got to tell you, and that's exactly what I said. You know, I really, really feel good. That's what I'm trying to create, because without these people, I got nothing here. I got zero. I'm not going to make it. I'm just not going to make it.
Jim, you always have us, Marty and Don.
I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Yeah. I need you tomorrow.
There you go.
We'll give you our cell phone numbers after the show.
All right.
There you go. Jim, can you describe what a typical day is like for a Rita's franchisee?
Oh, I think hopefully they get there in the morning, and the first thing they need to do is make ice for that day, because I said we make it fresh every day. You got to get into the store early and make ice, and you got to make sure you're preparing it. And it's about an hour to set up a store, give or take, depending on the experience. But it's about making ice and getting ready for the day, and then hopefully it's about just taking care of the guests, each one, as they come in, taking care of them, taking care of the business, you know, making sure that whoever closed the night before did it properly, doing administration work, you know, just taking care of the business. So that means it's a whole laundry list. You know, ordering the products. We have two distributors set up. What we've tried to do is set up, this is a sidebar, what we tried to do is make this as much package as possible to have them be successful, so their time can be spent on taking care of the guests. But, you know, just taking care of the business, whether they got to do payroll, whether they got to, you know, do anything for the store, do they need to make any phone calls, just taking care of the business.
You really recommend, Jim, that they get out in the community, too? And
oh, big time, big time, big time, big time, real big. That's key. And that's the other part I didn't mention. What marketing do they need to do? We have many, many programs. We've created what I like to call a toolkit of all the local store marketing ideas that are available to them. One of the things we put in, you won't believe this. This is, I tell this to people who haven't been here, because as I talk about where we started and where we are, obviously there aren't a lot of people that remember where we were when we started. When we bought this business in May of 2005, only 3 short years ago, they used to do a weekly mailing to all the stores. Snail mail, not email, snail mail. Every week, an envelope would go out with all the communication needed. 3 years ago. And I said, well, we can't do this. Well, there are stores that don't have computers. What? What do you mean? What do you mean they don't have computers?
Right.
Well, they don't have computers.
Right.
You know, guys, we got to change. We cannot continue to do business this way. This is, it's just, it's not
the information efficient. Age, right. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we made 100% change by getting out of the mail business, and now we have email. But in addition to that, we have what we call, you got to remember, I said everything is cool. I got to tell you the story about the cool support center. But we have what we call our internet, which is called CoolNet. Everything, it's CoolNet. And part of the CoolNet is obviously communicating to them what's happening on a regular basis. Number two, we have a whole library with all the information that we've put into the library to help them be successful. And three, we have a forum. The forum is the purpose of being able to exchange ideas, suggestions, benchmarking, and helping each other. This is all about what do we need to do. I'm a franchisee. What do I need to do to be successful? I got to tell you, this is a cute story because it really ran after that.
Yeah.
We have this office, and I didn't like it. I thought it needed a name. So, and, you know, again, there's 40 people there. This is very early in 05. I said, we need to create a name. Well, I got to be honest. I thought people thought, what planet did this guy come from? What does he want to do this for?
Yeah.
So fortunately, somebody in the marketing department did some research and said, oh, there's four or five, I mean, they only found four or five companies that have a name for their headquarters. So I said, okay, we're going to give away a $1,500 gift card. I want to make sure that I get people's attention, hoping that we're going to come up with a name. 4,000 names we came up with, to the point that we had to go through it a couple of times to get to the right number, the right name, but we ended up calling it the Cool Support Center. From that point on, everything that we do has the word cool. Why? Because we have cool products. They're cool ice, they're cool from a temperature standpoint, but they're also just cool. So it's really been a lot of fun. But that's the other part of this business. We have a lot of fun. As somebody says, the vice president of marketing says, you know, you could be working, no offense to anybody, you could be working for the water company. Instead, we're having a lot of fun here every day serving happiness, serving great products that people are crazy about.
Yeah, that's something we didn't really talk about. Well, you might have mentioned it, Jim, but, yeah, I mean, this is a just not a happy business, but, you know, customers are happy. It's, you know, people are in a good mood,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they, you know, when they're, you know, looking forward to going to Rita's and when they're leaving. I guess that's a, you know, fun part of the, you know, franchise ownership.
Well, you know, let me say something about the business. I say this to everybody. Being in the hamburger business, every day, all of us have to eat somewhere every day. You either eat at home or you eat at a restaurant. It's just a necessity. This is a business you don't need to eat in. And so when people are coming, it's about happiness. They are, to some degree, some less and some more, they're happy, they want to treat themselves, and they're going out of the way to have a treat. So they come in with a different approach than it is when they walk into a restaurant, a different opinion or a different approach of how they walk into the Starbucks or the Dunkin' Donuts or to the Wawa to get a cup of coffee, that drug they need. They don't need this. They're coming for the enjoyment. As somebody said to me, actually our vice president of marketing, I always ask this question, we all do, do you go to Rita's? Because if you don't, you're not going to get much further with us. So as I said that to her, this is a year and a half ago, she said, oh, I go to Rita's every week. It's my weekly family vacation.
Right.
She said, I get to go with my wife, with my son, and my husband. Every week we go to Rita's for a half hour to an hour. That's our weekly family vacation. Because it's that time that we get to be with each other over something that we enjoy. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
That's really what people think about this concept.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Yeah, we just took our son last night, Jim. He's 7 months years old. You know, he was just born, and he's already starting the tradition, you know, coming, you know, once a week. And sometimes we're there twice a week, actually. So, you know, I would agree with that. That's fantastic.
That's the amazing thing about this business. I'm not sure who that was, Don or Marty.
It was Marty, yeah.
Marty. Let me tell you an interesting fact about this business. This is a fact, not a theory. People will not eat ice cream once or twice a week. They just don't do it. It's too rich, it's too heavy, it's just too much.
Right.
They will eat ice once or twice a week.
That's
in
true.
Fact, this is, I mean, I really did not believe it till I saw it and I heard it. We have people that come every day, every single day.
Wow.
We have 50% of our guests come once a week. Once a week. And again, that's what makes this business so special. is it because it's a product as a treat that you can have more than once a week. It's not heavy. Ice cream, I like ice cream, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't eat ice cream twice a week, once a, I mean, it's, I don't know. I look at it differently versus
the
Italian ice aritas.
That's true. Absolutely. Jim, we have about 60 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Rita's as a franchisee?
Let me give you my cell phone. No, I'm only kidding. The best way is to go to our webpage, www.ritasice.com.
Okay.
Rita's, RITASICE.com. Rita's Ice.
That's great.
In
we'll
fact,
also post it up on our website, too, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
Just to make it convenient for them to, you know, to get more information. But Don and I want to thank you. You've been an incredible guest, Jim, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Marty, I appreciate it. Don, I appreciate it. And I think you feel this for me. I love, you know, I got to be honest. I love talking about Rita's. I love talking about business. I love talking about the franchising. So I would be, I would love to. I love this stuff. I think I take IV in the mornings about this. I love it.
And Jim, I do think you're an expert, and we appreciate you coming on the show. It's been such, you know, very valuable information, and you know, we love hearing about Rita's. You know, Marty and I have been looking forward to this show for, you know, several weeks now.
We have, yeah. But, we're very excited.
Well, as I say to our partners, our job is to meet and exceed your expectations. So I hopefully did that with you guys. Thank you.
We certainly have done it. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, have a great day
appreciate
today.
Take Thanks,
care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, definitely.
What a cast, you know. It's just, there's a lot to talk about with that particular show.
You know, brought up just great stories. And, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, we have such passion for in business, the franchise, and especially Rita's. So that's going to just, you know, show in the, you know, future investors or partners with
Rita's. Oh, absolutely. It does. Yeah. It gets you excited. And that's really, you know, what it's about, isn't it? You know, and you can see that he learned that from Dave Thomas. You know, it's really about your people.
So I know you'll be heading over to Rita's tonight, right?
Well, you know what? I think I've been there. Well, I've been there once already this week, so I don't know if as I'm eating ice cream 2 days in a row, you know. But as you said, you know, you can't eat the ice. You know, as
right.
Really, you can go there every day. You know, I mean, it's fine, and for us, it's so convenient because it's in a great location.
Right.
So, yeah, great franchise, you know. And it was just he was an incredible guest.
Yeah.
So looking forward to having him back in the future as well. What a speaker.
Yeah, it was a nice show. We'll definitely have him on. You did a nice job, Marty.
Thanks, Don. You have a great day today. And, again, go to franchiseinterviews.com and gofranchise.com and franchisefunding.net.
And, of course, go back on all the, you know, wonderful shows we've done in our archive of close to 80 shows now, right, Marty?
Over 80 shows you can listen to. And, again, it would take you several days to listen to all of them. So, but if you do that, you will know more about franchising than anybody on the planet Earth. So,
good point. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Marty.
Thanks, Don. Have a great day today.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.